Well, we just had a packed house every night, I believe, and it's been so encouraging. The singing has been so encouraging, and the prayers that have been prayed. It's been a great time for me. I'm going to go home a better person, I can tell you that. And I always tell people, I try to tell myself that when I come into a building like this to worship God. I make up my mind when I'm in the building, something is going to happen. I'm going to either sing a song and notice something in the song I haven't noticed before, or something is said in a class that I hadn't paid much attention to. And I'm going to go out of this building a changed person. And every day I just keep changing. I'm not going to go to heaven on a pogo stick. I just keep making slow, progressive moves every day. And so if we come in here with the idea that we're going to look into this mirror, the Word of God, and look at ourselves, I think sometimes what we do, you know, the Bible, James 1:25 says the Bible is like a mirror. We look at a mirror, but we kind of turn it like that. So, whoa, look at that mess over there. And we look at everybody else, but we never really see what we're doing. And so it would be good for us tonight to just kind of look at yourself, look at what's said, and think, well, am I really doing what I should be doing? I want to tell you that I tell this everywhere I go. I may have said this here before, but when I became a Christian, I had four addictions in my life. I was addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, and tobacco. And when I obeyed the gospel, I thought, how in the world am I going to get over this? And I thought, well, I think what I'll do is I'll start on the easy one first. I'll start on the tobacco products and see how that works. And so I was setting up each night listening to the Bible at about 4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't read very well at the time. And so I kept listening to that over and over. And I didn't realize putting those things into my mind and thinking about them, that when I would sit up late at night like that, I usually would think about wanting a cigarette, but my mind was on that. I was thinking about it. And then I would go to work, and I'd go in the men's locker room. There were always a lot of pornography in the locker rooms and all that was in there. A lot of times guys would go out back in the 60s. They would go out in the locker room, out in their vans and do drugs and other things, you know, smoke marijuana and things like that and hash. And so I was struggling with all sorts of things like that. And I began to realize that the Bible was the thing that was helping me as I went along and tried to, first of all, quit smoking. And so I would go to work in the morning, and I'd say, now every time I reach up there, my grandmother would give me a little Bible, and I put that in my pocket. I said, every time I reach up there to get a cigarette, I'm going to pull that Bible out, and I'm going to memorize a verse. I'm going to have somebody read it to me, and I'm going to look at it and try to memorize that verse. And so the first day I went to work after I became a Christian on that Monday, I went home and I stayed up way in the night memorizing 18 verses that night. And I mean, it just wore me out trying to get that done. And so the next day I went back to work and I was working on those verses. And then I kept reaching up there with that old habit. And as time went on, I began to realize that the more I did that, the less. The next day I think I only had about 12 verses. And so it just kept going down. And I found out they did a research back in 1967, and they tried to study people and figure out what you have to do to change a habit in your life. I guess it was late in that because it's when they started trying to get people to do seatbelts. I don't remember when that was now, but anyway, they said that researchers learned if you do something 21 times in a row and you keep doing that and you don't skip one time, it usually will become a habit to you. And so you just have to keep doing it till it becomes a habit. Now, I finally learned if I wanted to do something, I first of all had to get my mind off that old habit and find some new habit to go to. And so I want you tonight, I was going to look at either praying or the Lord's Supper, but I want tonight rather to look at the 119th Psalm. I want you to notice in this Psalm something that has helped me in my life in so many ways. As I just look at the Bible, I guess you know this is an acrostic alphabetic Psalm. These are the letters of the alpha, the Hebrew alphabet. And the fellow who did this, he wrote it in such a way that each one of these stanzas, there are 8 verses in each stanza, and they would begin the sentence with the letter, the alphabet of that letter in that stanza. And so it's really kind of amazing. I heard one time about a man who was speaking at Harvard or somewhere. And so he decided he would do this with his speech, and he would use those letters from Harvard to govern his speech around. And so he kept using those letters and bringing them up in words. And so after it was over, somebody was amazed at that and said, boy, that was something. And somebody else said, yeah, but I'm sure glad we weren't at the graduation of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. That would have been a while. But if you think about the marvel of somebody thinking so much about looking at these verses and putting them, and when you look at what this man did, we don't know who it was. It could have been David or somebody. We don't know. But when you look at what the writer says, the marvel of it and the amazing thing, this man understood, and we're going to see this man was a man in real trouble. And so you might say, what should I do if I'm having trouble? Maybe I'm having struggles with some kind of an addiction. Maybe I'm having some kind of problem at work. Or maybe I'm having some mental trouble. And really what got me thinking about this morning I spent about an hour and a half talking to somebody who's having mental trouble. And I just brought over to this psalm and I just talked to him about that. And I got carried away with it again. Thought, well, I'll talk to you about it some tonight. And so what we see here, if you notice in the beginning of this psalm, I want you to just kind of skim through it for a moment. And just pick up what I see is where this man is telling us where he is while he's writing this psalm. This man's in trouble. And just notice what's going on. If you drop down, first of all, to 119 Psalm in verse 22. He says to the Lord, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Now he's going to tell us, he's going to use 10 different phrases out of the 176 verses. I believe there are only 6 of them that don't mention the Word of God in one way or another. And he uses 10 different terms to describe the Word of God. One of them is testimony. We're going to see a lot of those as we read this. And so just keep watching for them. Here's somebody now, he's being reproached by other people. People are attacking him, saying things about him, slandering him. And so he's facing that. And so he says, but what I'm doing, for I have kept thy testimony. Look at verse 23. Princes also did set and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. And so here's a picture of somebody who is princes. Have you ever had somebody in a high position? I've had some people at Madison in high positions try to get on to me for something I was doing. And so I went in and just faced them and talked to them. And I didn't get bothered, went home. I went home and got my Bible out. And I meditated. This word meditate means to chew the cud. You ruminate and run it over and over in your mind. Just keep thinking about that time and time again. And so here's somebody who's ruminating on the Word of God because people are speaking against them. People in high places. So when somebody is talking against you and speaking against you, you know what? We sometimes want to go and try to defend ourselves and draw our sword out and whirl a sword with them, try to get even with them. Just go home and get your Bible out when somebody's talking about you. And study your Bible and think about that. In verse 125, he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken, or make me alive. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And notice this fella, he is down on the ground and he's stuck to the dirt. He's depressed. He's down on the ground. And so he's discouraged. But what does he say? He said, God, I'll tell you what I know will lift me up. I know what will make me alive. What will quicken. This old word, the old English word, if you ever cut your fingernail back into the quick, that's where it's alive back in there. This old word quicken. So here's where the life is, you see. So that means when you study your Bible, here's where you can find life. Here's what can bring you life. When you're discouraged, when you're depressed, when especially in the winter, I've always tell people in Madison, I try to preach a couple of sermons, kind of like a cheerleader type sermon to kind of build, pump people up, because people seem to get depressed. And it seems like in the winter, people aren't quite as busy, and we end up having problems in the church sometimes, more in the winter than in the summer. They get out in the summertime, wear themselves out, so they don't have time to fuss and carry on with each other. And so when winter comes, we're kind of locked in, and we get a little depressed and short-tempered maybe. And so we need to just get our Bible out when we get that away. But notice the writer says in verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. And here's somebody, he feels like he's just melting, just dissolving. He just feels like life is going out from him. He's melting away. And then look down at verse 39. 39 says, take away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. For verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Notice, this man, either he has done something or people are just dreaming up something, but a lot of people seem to be saying something against him. I was telling this person today that Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, a wicked man fleeth when no one pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And so, you know, if your conscience is bothering and you're guilty about something, sometimes you think everybody's looking at you, everybody's picking on you, but really it's your own conscience that's bothering you. And so what you should do is you should be bold. You should be brave. I remember one time my youngest son, Matt, he must have been 9 or 10 years old. He heard me talk about this verse, and I'd let my license on my truck expire. And so I didn't have the money to buy it, so I thought, I'll wait till the sun goes down. I'll sneak out of town. A friend of mine's going to let me park my truck out on his farm. And so I thought, I'll just sneak out of town, park it out there. So Matt went with me. He got in the truck, and I was looking in the rearview mirrors, looking everywhere. And he said, Dad, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean, son? I'm driving a truck. He said, no, you're doing something else. I said, what do you mean, Matt? He said, a wicked man fleeth when no one pursueth. He said, you think somebody's chasing you down. What are you doing? I said, I'm breaking the law. But you see... But you see, sometimes what you realize is that this writer senses and sees that in his life. And notice he says on more than one occasion, look at verse 50, he says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Notice, what comforts you? Where do you go? Have you ever thought about, so many times people call me with problems and trouble in the church, and sometimes people will call me and want to talk about somebody else and try to create some trouble. And what I just do when I get people like that, first of all, when somebody calls and wants to gossip, I say, "Wait just a minute, let me get my pencil, piece of paper." And I say, "Why?" I say, "I'm going to write down everything you say about this person, and I'm going to call them up when you hang up and talk to them about it. And I'm going to tell them what you told me." They say, "Well, listen, I'm busy. I got to go right now. I can't talk to you anymore." And they hang up. But you know, if you just see in these verses, here's a person that's afflicted, and he just keeps coming back. He keeps coming. Look at verse 51. "The proud have made me in great derision, yet I have not declined from thy law." Here's somebody, he's just having so many conflicts, so much struggle in his life because of what other people do. Verse 61. "The band of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law." Have you ever had somebody rob you? I've told about a friend I went to school with one time. He used to be a person who stole cars and stole transmissions, and I ran around with people like that in Louisville. And one time, he was stealing transmission out of a car, and he told his buddy who was there with him, said, "Hand me a 9/16. And the police car pulled up behind him there. This policeman stuck his badge in the boy's hand. He said, he pulled out of there, and so he went to jail. And so they were going to give him some doing some service for the city because he, rather than putting him in jail, was too young. And so they made him do some, so they find a good mechanic. He came down and started working on the police cars downtown Louisville. And so he was real good, and those policemen got to appreciating him. And so he worked there, I think he had to work about a year or so. After he got finished doing that, they said, "We're going to hire you on down here and keep you." And so he said, "Great." So he got some money, and he went out and bought him some new tires and some new rims. And so he said, "Gary, come look at him." I said, "Boy, you did good." Old boy said, "Yeah, I'm doing good." And so he went home that night and parked his car out in the alley. Next morning he called me and said, "Oh, I want to kill somebody this morning." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I hate a thief. Somebody stole my car, my tires and my rims last night." But you see, that's what, when you have somebody steal from you, what do you ever think? Well, maybe I just get my Bible out. Maybe I'll just think more about what God wants me to think about. And so this man just keeps coming back. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I learned thy word. Notice, he said, before I was afflicted, when everything went my way. You ever notice how the hardest places I go to preach the gospel are where there's rich and wealthy people? It's hard to get those people interested in the gospel. But somebody who's having trouble and problems, people in the third world who can barely survive, barely live, those people want to learn. They want to study. They want to know the Bible. And so here's a picture of an old boy that understood when things went his way, he didn't turn to the Bible. But problems drove him back to his Bible, you see. It was afflictions that caused him to open his Bible and to read it and study it. Again, in verse 69, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I have kept thy precepts with my whole heart." Verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." You see, being broken, being in trouble, it makes you come back and study your Bible. Verse 75, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou hast in faithfulness afflicted me." And notice, he knows it. Sometime God brings afflictions, God brings trouble to you. God does that. He'll humble you by problems and trouble. He'll test you with those things. And this man knows that God did it in faithfulness. Well, he wasn't being reckless. He was doing something that would help and develop this person. Verse 78, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they have dealt perversely with me without cause, but I have meditated in thy statutes." Verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Verse 82, my eyes fail me for thy word, saying, "When wilt thou comfort me?" Here was a fellow, he wanted to see God's deliverance. He wanted to see God work in his life in heaven. Verse 83, "I have become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." See, these old bottles of animal skins, they would usually hang them by a fire and get dry and brittle. They're not good for anything. This old boy's life was dried up. He was struggling. Verse 84, he said, "How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me?" Verse 85, the proud have digged a pit for me, which are after my, or which are not after thy law. And then verse 88, all thy commandments are faithful. They that persecute me wrongfully, help thou me. We could go on and on. I just wanted to get a glimpse of where this man is. Now he's writing the psalm while he's brokenhearted. He's struggling. He's discouraged. But now look, notice what he tells us. Let's just begin in verse 1 and just look at this first stanza for a minute. And notice, what will the Bible do for you? You ever asked that question? If you read the Bible, what will it do? Have you ever thought about the fact that the Bible is an amazing book? It's not like any other book in the world. The Bible, good people, is a supernatural book. Now, what do I mean by that? This book has the breath of God in it. It's not like any other book you'll ever read. And so if you're brokenhearted and wounded and struggling and have a problem, if you'll see that this book has something no other book can have. You might read other books, they might help you, but let me tell you, this book has the breath of God in it. This book has an author of the Holy Father of Heaven, the one who created everything, His Son, and what He has created and done. They are the authors of what we're reading here. So it's a supernatural book, and it has supernatural, it will never lie to you. It will never tell you a lie. The Bible, in the 107th verse of this psalm, he said, "In thy word is faithful or righteous. Thy righteous judgments," he calls them. So the word of God is always going to tell you exactly how it is. Now you may not like it, but it'll do that. But notice he says in verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled that walk in the way, who walk in thy law, in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimony." Notice we're going to see all these terms here in just a moment. Here's law, here's testimony. "And that seek Him with a whole heart." Now notice this person saying, you know what? If you study your Bible and you get excited about learning your Bible, reading your Bible, memorizing your Bible, and it would amaze you if you memorize things, what you will notice in a chapter you never saw probably ever before. It's amazing what that'll do to you. But here's somebody who says, you know what I know about the Bible? It will bless you. It will bless your life. It will become a blessing to you. It will lift you up and help you in every kind of way. The Bible will be a blessing to you. And so the person who studies his Bible, how can a person who's depressed and discouraged, how can he become happy again? How can he become alive? Study your Bible. Memorize your Bible. If you're struggling with something, I was going to tell you, when I was struggling with that tobacco product, I kept memorizing the Bible. I never thought about the fact that when I was doing that at lunchtime, the guys would go out in the van and smoke dope out in the parking lot. I forgot to go out there. I was sitting there studying and memorizing my Bible, and I forgot they were doing it. And so I began to forget to go out. I sat there at lunchtime and worked on my Bible, and I didn't go over to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom. I had my Bible with me. I was looking at that was in there, so I didn't think about what was in there. And so what the Bible did, it seemed to consume my thinking. So I didn't have to fight drugs. I didn't have to fight pornography. I didn't have to fight alcohol, because when I was fighting the cigarettes by memorizing the Bible, it was killing all those other desires. This book alone was doing that. And I never imagined. And I tell people when I obeyed the gospel, I knew that there would be things that would get in the way in my life of trying to learn the Bible. And so I want to get all those out. I told somebody this afternoon, that when I went to work and a guy asked me some questions, and he made me start thinking about God. And so I went home. I had long hair and long beard, and I wore hippie beads, and I had drugs in my house, and alcohol and pornography and cigarettes. And so I went home from work that day. I took my razor and I cut all my hair off, cut my beard off, and I took those beads off, threw those away. I poured out my drugs down the commode and threw my cigarettes in the garbage, poured my alcohol out and threw my pornography in the garbage. And I went out and got the Bible on tape, and I came home and I was sitting in the living room, and I was reading, listening to this on a tape and listening to this little book that my grandmother gave me. And while I was doing that, my wife comes in the door. And here I'm clean shaven, you know, and I'm sitting there looking at the Bible, and she says, "Don't move." She said, "I'll call Our Lady of Peace and we'll get you in the mental hospital." And I said, "No, I'm fine." I said, "I've been on the road to hell all my life, and I'm going to get off of it." I said, "I don't know how to get off of it, but I'm going to find out how." And so you see, I began, and I had a motorcycle, and I thought that motorcycle was getting wet, so I sold that motorcycle for half what it's worth. I gave my shotgun, my fishing pole. And you might say, "Well, now what's wrong with fishing and riding?" I still ride a motorcycle. I still like to fish, huh? I'm just saying, I knew when I began, those things would get in my way. And I was even thinking, at the time, to show you how crazy I was, I thought, "I'm not going to keep a mustache. That might be worldly. I don't know." But you see, I didn't know anything. I was a complete ignoramus about trying to find my way to God. But I'm saying to you, what brought me through that? What made me put my feet down and start figuring out how to live, what to do, how to have the right attitude? My wife, she was getting frustrated with me during that period. And I thought we were going to get a divorce, to be honest with you. And so she kind of was telling me that she was kind of frustrated with me and that maybe we weren't going to be able to make it. And I said, well, now, baby girl, let me tell you something. I said, I've not been a very good husband, but I'm going to tell you something. If you just give me a little time, I'm going to study my Bible, and I'm going to learn how to be the best husband the world has ever known. And I tell people, several years ago now, we were going somewhere, and we got to a restaurant, and I'd done what my wife wanted, tried to make her happy. And so we got in the restaurant, and she reached across the table, and she took my hand, she looked me down, she said, you know what you are? I said, what? She said, you're the best husband in the world. I said, that's just what I'm trying to be. But you see, the Bible was what did that to me, you see? I couldn't have done that by myself. And so what you see here is it will make you happy. It's amazing the joy you will get in your life if you just read your Bible every day. But notice what's next in verse 3. He said, they also do no iniquity. They walk in thy ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Notice now he tells us the people who take the Bible and read it, what they do is they do no iniquity. Look down at verse 109. Verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Can you see what will make you holy? It will first of all make you happy. But notice this verse shows that the Bible will make you holy. What you will end up doing is you will start doing and thinking things, and you will start getting away. You'll steer away from friends that weren't helping you. And that was one of my troubles when I obeyed the gospel. And I ran around with guys that rode motorcycles, did a lot of things. And I was wondering how that was going to work. And so what I would do is when I would get around those guys, I'd take my Bible. And I said, have you ever read this in the Bible? Sam Dusky, don't get that out and bother me with that. What are you doing? Don't bother me. And so finally, I just kept talking too much about the Bible. They said when they'd go right, they wouldn't call me anymore. They just got rid of me, you see. But I want you to see that all those fleas and dogs and all those people I ran with, they fled from me simply because I was trying to learn the Bible. And so it will make you holy. If you get it out and you talk to your friends, they'll get away from you. It will save you from having to get rid of people who are doing you harm. But now notice, not only will it help you to be a holy person and you put these things in your heart, you'll be a different person, but notice what else it says. Look at what's said in verse 5. He says in verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy statutes. And notice here, this man is saying, you know what, I know God, I want you to direct me. You know, I'm afraid sometimes people come to the Bible and we've kind of already got our mind made up and we think we know more about it than God does. We want to argue with God. Can you imagine? I mean, here we are living on this little speck of a grain of sand in this vast universe. We're like little ants down here in the middle of all this vastness here. And we think we can tell God something, or we can argue with God. Well, God doesn't know what he's talking about. Listen to me. We need to understand when we look at what God says, we ought to be humbled by that. And this writer in the Psalm says over and over and over, Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. If you have that kind of attitude and don't think, well, I know everything, I want the Lord to teach me. And so this man feels that way about the Word of God. He says, Lord, I want you to direct my ways so I can keep your statutes. You help me to see how to do it. You teach me. You know, you can see passages in the Old Testament and the New. Jesus in John 6, 44 and 45 quoted Isaiah 56, 13 and said, you know what we need to understand is if anybody comes to God, we've all got to be taught of God. Every man, therefore, they have learned and heard, therefore, the Father cometh unto me, Jesus said. And so that means we've got to let God teach us. If we'll get our Bible out and study our Bible and read it and look at it, we'll find out that happiness will come. We'll find out that when we do what God says, we'll have a desire to want to be holy and do what is right. And we'll also understand, the more you read your Bible, the more you understand, you'll be humble in your attitude toward God. You'll have a greater respect for God. But notice what the writer says in verse 7. He says in verse 7, I will praise thee with an upright heart, with the uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Now notice, here's a man who understands the more you study the Bible and the more you know the Bible, the more you're going to want to do as you see the Bible and get excited about it. You're going to want to praise God. You'll want to give homage to God. That's what it'll make you do. I mean, when I see what God has said and what God has done and how life is and how your life is blessed when you look at what God says, I sing sometimes so loud people wish I'd hush, you know. I feel like I'm at a ball game somewhere, excited about I'm on the winning team. And God is helping me and blessing my life. And I just want to praise God with every fiber that's in me. And I want to be what God wants me to be. But you know what made me that way? It's studying the Bible. It wasn't, I mean, I learned a lot of things from other people. But most of what has happened to me is I just spend a lot of time looking at my Bible. It's amazing what you'll see for yourself. And you might see things that nobody else even notices if you look for yourself. But now notice, after he shows us that he wants to worship God, he wants to praise God, he wants to do that with his whole heart. And notice he's already mentioned that about his heart. He wants to do it with all his heart. He wants to do it diligently. He wants to always do it. This idea again of ruminating and chewing the cud. I've told this story everywhere I've been about years ago when my grandpa and I were out mowing the field and there's some cattle under the tree over there. I always noticed as a little boy that cattle were always chewing. And I thought, what in the world are those cows? I said, Grandpa, what in the world are those cows chewing? He said, horsefly. That's what he called me, horsefly all the time. He said, horsefly, they're chewing all day bubblegum. I said, what? He said, yeah, we call it the cud, but it's all day bubblegum. And he said, what they'll do is they'll chew that up, and in a little while, and I hope this don't mess your supper up, but he said they'll swallow that down in their stomach, and they'll sit there a while in the shade and look around this way and that way. He said, then they'll bring it back. And they'll roll that around some more until every single morsel that's in that grass, they have gotten every bit of it out. It's amazing how much is in each morsel. Have you ever just studied words in the Bible? It's amazing. I mean, there are sermons in just words alone. And when you think about the fact that all these things that are here, what they should do to us is cause us to want to pay homage to God. But finally tonight, I want you to notice what verse 8 says. He says, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. I want you to notice what that seemed to indicate about this man is that he knows that if he doesn't do what God said and doesn't read God's word, that what God can do is God has a limited patience. And God can utterly forsake you. You can get to where nothing can touch you. You know, your heart is like your hand. You ever get out and work hard? Bob Tanner, the dad, I was over with him. He'd been out in his yard working, moving some bushes and trees. He showed me his hand. He's got preacher's hand. He had a big blister right in the middle of his hand. See, preachers don't work, see. That way. And so he had a big old blister in the middle of his hand. But you see, your heart's the same way. When you start applying the Bible, it will hurt you. And it'll be painful. And it'll feel like something's getting raw and hurt because it will make you look at yourself. But if you keep working, now you look at old Bob's hand in about a week or so, you'll see he's got some big old white calluses on there. He might take a pen. I did that in school when I was a boy. I always had to work with the tools in the garden. So I went to school and this girl named Judy sat by me. And I said, Judy, you know I'm tough. I said, look at this. I took a pen. I said, look at this. She said, oh, don't. I said, oh, I'm tough. Look. I poked those old calluses, see. It was dead. The skin was dead on there. I'd worked so hard, the skin became dead. Your heart can do that. You can sit here and listen to the Bible and not do any changing and not look at yourself. And after a while, you can sit and you won't hear a thing in here. Your mind, I've noticed that sometimes I'm preaching. I'll tell some story, something about some tragedy, and I look at some lady, she's going, and I thought, well, I know where she's at. She's in Chicago. She's not here. So you see, you can come in here and we can waste your time. Because your mind, your heart has become hardened. And you close your ears. That's the danger of it. And if you're not careful, God will forsake you utterly. I've told this story about, I learned from Steve Lee. Some of you may know Steve Lee. His daddy and my daddy were farmers that worked together. He preaches over in Camelsville. But Steve had come to Madison years ago. And we were sitting there talking. Steve, I said, it was a pretty day out. And I said, what do you want to do? He said, I don't know. He said, I've always wanted to learn how to swim. I said, you don't know how to swim? He said, no. I said, I'll teach you how to swim today. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, you don't have a swimming pool. I said, I don't, but my friends are on vacation. They got one. And I said, when they're gone, it's my pool when they're on vacation. And so I said, we'll go out there and I'll teach you. So we went out to this pool. And so I said, now, Steve, it's about 3 or 4 foot up on this end. I said, it slopes down the middle like that, and it's about 10 foot down that end. And so I sat down, take my tennis shoes off, and I was going to take my billfold out. Well, I don't know what got into Steve's mind. He jumped right in the middle of the pool. And when he did, he started slipping down that slope, and he looked like a bullfrog. He was going like that and just slid down there, and he just stood there looking at me. And I was sitting there untying my shoes, and I thought, well, that nut's acting like he's drowning. And I looked at him, and all of a sudden I realized, he is drowning. And so I jumped up and jumped in the pool, and he tried to drown me. He started climbing me like I was a tree. And so I thought, well, what? So I had to get below him, put his feet up on my shoulders, and stood up on the pool, walked over the edge, and he got a hold of the side. And I got out, and he was spitting and sputtering. He said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm sure mad at you. I said, son, I just saved your life. He said, I know, but it took you 10 minutes to do it. And I said, no, that wasn't that long. It just seemed long to you. He said, well, I'm going to tell you what now. He said, when I was down in that pool, and I was looking at you, he said, I was so terrified. I was so frozen that he said, I couldn't even close my eyes. I wanted to close my eyes. He said, I thought I was going to die. And I just kept thinking under the bottom of the pool, if old Sandusky don't come get me, I'm not going to make it. He's going to have to. I can't do anything for myself. I'm hopeless. I'm utterly hopeless. There's nothing. Helpless. I can't do anything. And so he said, now I'm going to kiss you for that. And I said, no, I'm not out here in the woods, me and you alone. You're not kissing on me. But you see, he realized what all of us need to realize. Unless God helps us, we're utterly forsaken. And God has given us this wonderful book. And we spend so much time reading everything else under the sun and looking at everything else, and spend so much of our energy and our money making sure we have all sorts of other information, when this is the greatest book that has ever been written. It is absolutely a supernatural book with a supernatural author with supernatural information. I couldn't give you any better information, and you never have to punch an update button on it, you know. That's one thing I love about the Bible. Once you memorize it, you don't have to worry about something. I may have told you this. I debated a fellow years ago in Cincinnati. And so we talked about who's going to write the propositions up. And I said, why don't you write them up? And I said I would just like to go by the Bible. Let the Bible be our tool. And so he said, well, do you know Greek or Hebrew? I said, no, sir. I don't even know English very well. And so as we began to talk, I knew. But what we were talking about, that he was never going to find a verse of what he believed. Because I'd read through my Bible. I knew what was in my Bible, see. So I didn't have to be afraid. Now, he kept ridiculing me and belittling me for being an ignoramus. And I would just get up and say, amen. Because he was right about that. But I said, but you still haven't shown us the verse, you see. That's what's so great about this book. Once you know it, you don't have to be intimidated or afraid of anybody. You can just put your finger on the book. If you're here tonight and need to respond to the gospel in any way, once you come, we'll stand and sing a song of encouragement.
God calling, yet shall I not hear? Earth's pleasure shall I still hold dear? Shall I swift passing years all fly? And still my